And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. $5 million from the Federal CARES Act is funding a small business program in Hamilton County. The goal is to help local businesses hit hard economically by this pandemic. And joining us to talk about it now is Hamilton County Commission President Denise Driehaus. Commissioner Driehaus, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. Last time we had you on the show, it was in the studio. Obviously, we can't do that now. And I guess I'll start by just asking how you're doing. I know it's a tough time for the government as well, and handling some of the impact financially and just mentally, emotionally. How are you coping?
Oh, well, we're doing our best. We're very short-staffed here at the county, as you might imagine, because so many folks are either working from home or, and some are furloughed. But the last time I was there, we were talking about the Commission on Women and Girls, which is one of my most favorite things. And we had a meeting on Saturday, so that work continues. So some of the things are moving forward, even in COVID-19 times.
Well, that's good to hear. And one new thing moving forward is a county-led initiative to help some of the small businesses here. We've heard about some of the difficulties that businesses had with the federal program, but the local governments were awarded money as well. And it looks like you and your colleagues at the county have decided to put some of these funds into some sort of program for small businesses. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, that's right. So because we have a population in Hamilton County over 500,000, we got some of the CARES Act funding from the federal government. The amount is around $142 million. And so we are looking for a couple things there, some flexibility to use that for some of the basic operations of the county, given the reduction in sales tax revenue that we know we're going to see. But it does leave some dollars for other things that are related to a COVID response. And so a large portion of the money is going for a public health response. We're buying PPE. We're going to do expanded testing in collaboration with the Health Collaborative. We're continuing to rehouse folks in our community who are homeless. We've got some mental health needs that we'll hopefully be able to appropriate some money for. We've got some general county response, but then we have this other tranche of money related to economic assistance. And so in that bucket, we are trying to do things like rental assistance, assisting nonprofits, and then importantly, small business assistance. And that's the program that we rolled out on Friday.
So what would the benefit be to small businesses if they were to receive some of the money?
So what we're doing is setting aside, at this moment in time, it's $5 million. And so each applicant, a small business owner that qualifies, would get $10,000. We did do some research on that amount to make sure that we are providing enough money for a business who's kind of on the bubble to be able to get over the hump and continue to stay in business, but not so much that we can't provide as much assistance to as many business owners as possible. So $10,000. This is primarily for very small businesses who did not get federal dollars through the PPP program. Anecdotally, we're hearing from a bunch of businesses saying, you know, we applied, the money ran out, and so we're trying to fill a gap there.
Okay, so if we're calling this a loan, is this something that's paid back?
Well, it's a forgivable loan, and so the business, at this moment in time, they're required to either maintain or increase their employers or employees by one. So if you retain one employee or hire one new employee, you will that loan will become forgivable.
Okay. And if these are folks who applied for federal funding, did not receive it, or is it just anyone who did not receive federal funding, whether they applied or not?
It's the second. So you know, a lot of the people did apply and didn't get the funding, but really it's open to anyone that has not received that assistance.
Okay, so talk a little bit about the number here, because if there's $5 million designated for $10,000 loans, it seems like that's a lot available for individual businesses.
I think so. I mean, you know, we're trying to get to that sweet spot where it's enough money to be meaningful, but not so much that we're only hitting a small number of businesses. And so far, we've got 68 businesses who have signed up for notifications on our website. And so we know there's interest. And so we're going to continue to push out the information through the regional chamber, through the African American chamber, through mortar, through entities in this community that are trying to help those small businesses survive and make sure that everybody's aware of the assistance.
If you have questions about this new program, please give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. We got an email from a listener named Steve in Oakley, and Commissioner Driehaus, he's got a question about the requirement that the loan is forgivable if a business retains one full-time position or creates a new full-time position, which you just mentioned, all within 3 months of getting this loan. And part of this 3 months, he wants to know who enforces this aspect of the criteria and what is the method of recovery if it isn't fulfilled.
Well, we do have a number of folks on our staff working through this, namely the assistant county administrator. Her name is Holly Christman. And so she is the one putting this together with our planning and development department. And so we do these kinds of loans primarily through CDBG dollars, again, a federal funding stream. And we are able to track it through planning and development. And my assumption is we will do the same here.
Okay. And what about, I mean, we saw with the federal program that systems were crashing, there was lengthy lines, a lot of delays. We're talking about a county now. Sure, more than 500,000 people live here, but the staffing is smaller and the resources are smaller. So how is the county prepared to handle these requests that might come in?
Yeah, well, let me just say that we were going to roll this out as a pilot program and then launch into the larger dollar amount. But what we think we know is that the need is there now, and we need to roll this funding out as quickly as possible. And so we are no longer doing a pilot. We're going to have the full $5 million available. We do think we're going to get a large number of requests. We are trying to ramp up some of our staff to be able to respond to that. But we also, let me expand just a little bit on what's on our website, because we have people who are signing up for emails so that they know when things are going to be required of them. So the notice of eligibility, the documents that we're going to need to have for requirements for this will hopefully be on our website by the end of the week. We expect the application to be live maybe probably Wednesday of next week. I mean, all very fluid, as you can tell. But we're trying to get people in the queue already, so that when we push out the email to say, okay, the application has gone live, we'll have the first influx, and then as people learn about it, they too will apply. So we know it's coming, and so we're trying to get ready for that.
And what about the prevention of any fraudulent activity in this process?
Well, we'll be vetting all the applications. I'm going to give you just a little bit more of the requirements for eligibility. So applicant must be a small business with 50 or fewer employees, small business less than $1 million in gross revenue. So you can see that we're really honing in on a certain type of business. And anecdotally, again, some of these folks we're hearing did not get any federal dollars. And so they're the ones at risk. And so those are the ones that we're trying to help.
We got a question from another listener, Nancy, in Cincinnati, and is aware of this program that the county is offering to help small businesses weather the COVID-19 downturn, wondering if there's any consideration for the county government to deploy some of these funds to help school districts within the boundaries that may be forced to reduce their services. Or if that, I don't know whether that's possible, but that's a question that's submitted by a listener.
Yeah, so we have thought through beyond just small businesses, who else could we help with some of this funding? The school systems are not on the list. I'm happy to contemplate that. But let me tell you that nonprofits are on the list. And so we are starting to think about human services, nonprofits in the community who are also suffering and trying to offer some assistance there, as well as rental assistance to people that are having a real hard time right now paying rent. So happy to contemplate the school question.
Among those nonprofits, are we talking homeless shelters?
It's all of the above. And so what we know is that a lot of the donations have dried up while the need for some of the nonprofits have gone up. Think Free Store Food Bank, Our Daily Bread. I mean, some of the folks that are really on the front line right now. And so we are going to be taking a good hard look at trying to help there as well.
Okay. And when does this money have to be spent by from your end, the county?
The money has to be spent by the end of the year.
And can this money, you talked about, you know, figuring out different ways to deploy it, and can any of that be used to ramp up testing here in the county? We understand that some larger cities across the country are able to scale up their testing now. I'm wondering if that's something that could happen here.
Yes, and so that public health response tranche that I talked about at the beginning, it's about $50 million, so it's a very large chunk of the money. We're using it for expanded testing and to purchase PPE. What we think we know is that we are going to see an increase in positive cases as we start to open things up and more testing is available. And so we need to be ready for that. And also, we want to make sure that all the frontline employees that are now going back to work have the proper equipment by way of masks, gowns, gloves, you know, all the kind of stuff they need. So whether it's now or if we see a second wave, we want to make sure that we're well prepared for that.
What type of planning is going into making sure that the county is well prepared for that?
Well, the Public Health Department, the Emergency Management Agency, we're on calls constantly with them, with the City of Cincinnati, the Health Collaborative, United Way. I mean, the school systems are on the call. The hotel motel industry is on the call. So we have been having two calls a week at least to make sure we're all in the same loop together and know what resources are available. At this moment in time, the county's emergency management is coordinating all the PPE. So anything that comes in, whether it's from the federal government or the state government, goes to EMA, and then they distribute it according to criteria. For instance, you and I, Michael, probably don't need an N95 mask, but the person working at Christ Hospital does. And so those are the kind of things we're looking at as we deploy that strategy and all the equipment that we've got. So there is a lot of coordination happening right now between the city and the county, nonprofits, and the private sector.
We're talking about some of the organizations and businesses that may have been financially impacted in this new program that is being rolled out to offer some financial assistance to them, but the county's also been hit pretty hard. So why don't you let us know again, I guess, what you think the county needs in terms of assistance, not just to hand out to other organizations, but to make sure that its own processes can continue.
I appreciate that question because it's challenging, because what we know is that our sales tax revenue is going to take a hit. Now, the reason we are not sure about what that number is at this moment in time is because the sales tax revenue lags 3 months. And so we're trying to predict what we will see within the next few months related to sales tax. But what we know is we're going to have less revenue. The city relies on income tax. They are also going to see less revenue. And so we have been asking for some flexibility with these dollars from the federal government. And I must say that Sherrod Brown and Rob Portman, our two senators, have been extremely helpful in trying to get some flexibility with this money. So the Department of Treasury is creating the parameters. And so as we have moved through this, we have gotten some additional flexibility related to public safety. And so we are trying to get a better understanding of that, set aside some dollars for county operations. When we think of safety, it's obviously the sheriff's office and some of the sheriff's patrols that operate throughout the county. And so we are reserving some of this money for that kind of response, and that will provide some relief to the general fund.
What is your response to the federal government's response overall? I know you're saying that there's certain funding that's needed from a government standpoint, but I just mean in general, as a resident of the community and as you think about your neighbors and family members around and some of the talk that perhaps we're reopening too soon, and one of the main reasons is because people need income and there's not any additional income coming from the federal government. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so this whole thing is a balancing act. We're trying to balance the public health needs against economic needs. And it's challenging, but that said, I do wish that there was a more coordinated message so that, you know, collectively as a community, we're all on the same page. And then we all have an understanding if testing is so important as we move forward, some coordination related to that. So we're putting some money towards expanded testing here in Hamilton County because we haven't seen a lot of support otherwise for expanded testing. So I think, from a local government perspective, part of my frustration just has been the importance of making sure that we, again, as a community, are all on the same page. We're in this together. We need to understand that and make sure that, you know, we're taking precautions with one another. We're washing our hands. We're practicing distancing. We're wearing masks for the good of ourselves and for the good of everybody around us.
We've got the restaurants opening soon around here. We know that the city is taking some measures to, I guess, an attempt to increase business at these restaurants while also doing that balancing act that you just referenced, making sure that there's rooms. They're closing some streets up to expand the outdoor dining capabilities. What's your reaction to all of that?
Well, I think that people are ready to go back out and eat at restaurants, and I appreciate that, but we do need to do it safely. I've heard from some business owners, especially small business owners, who have said, you know, I can weather this once. I can't weather this twice. And so the last thing we want to do is open back up in a way that puts everybody at risk. We see a spike in cases. We're concerned about the capacity at the hospitals, and we got to close back down again. So we need to be very determined to make sure that that does not happen. And so I had the health commissioner on my daily briefing today to remind everyone, look, this is good news. You know, we're all anxious to get out, but please, we have responsibility, our personal responsibility, to wear a mask, to stay away from one another, and to just be as safe as we can. And we can't say it enough that we can't afford to mess this up.
513-419-7100 is to join the conversation with Hamilton County Commission President Denise Strihaus, who is our guest here on Cincinnati Edition. Now we'll go to the phones. We've got Jake on the line. Hi, Jake. What's your question or comment?
Why are people not more critical, politicians and public health officials and people in the business community, the White House, for setting a bad example by not wearing masks and continuing to go to work, even though employees in the West Wing have tested positive for COVID-19?
So what is your question, Jake? I'm sorry. I understand what you said, but what's the question?
Why are people not speaking out about this like your guest and saying, people are not going to go out to restaurants if they see the president not wearing a mask himself. They're not going to wear masks and play it safe. And they're just playing Russian roulette with the people of the United States.
All right, Jake, we do appreciate the call and the comment. Commissioner Strihaus, I wonder, are you wearing a mask while you're out and about?
I am indeed. So I would say to that some of us are modeling that behavior and others are not. And so the question would be to those that are not. When I go down to Findlay Market to get my groceries or I go to Clifton Market to get I wear a mask. And the people that I encounter, some are and some are not. And for those that are not, I simply keep my distance. We all have a responsibility, and I do think elected officials have a responsibility to model good behavior, but I cannot answer the question about why some elected officials have chosen not to do that.
And Commissioner, we've talked a little bit about the balancing act of the health response and the economic response that the governments have had to do. There's also a blend of civil liberties in here, and a lot of people who feel that their civil liberties are violated by this order or that order. Maybe it's about masks. Maybe it's about being, asked to stay home, required to stay home. You've been in public service for a while. What have you learned from this experience as it relates? I guess this is more of an academic question, just as it relates to the way government operates amid a crisis like this.
Well, look, I think we were all trying to take the lead of the governor and Dr. Acton, I think appropriately so, because our decisions should be driven by health policy, data, what we learn from the health experts. It should not be driven by politics. And so, at different levels of government, you see that playing out in different ways. But, the other piece of this is that we had an incident couple weeks ago out on the west side where there were 100 people gathered for an event. They were not wearing masks. They were not distancing. And so I think the challenge is that, look, if people feel like they want their civil liberties and they choose to do that, what they what I want them to think through is that, okay, you're out and exposing yourself, but then you're going to the grocery store, and the rest of us are at the grocery store, right? And so it goes beyond just the individual. We should be thinking about protecting ourselves, but also protecting others. And so, you know, I worry about my mom, frankly. I've said this more than once. I'm really careful when I drop something off at my mom's house and say, okay, take that container in, get it out of there, put it on a plate, and wash your hands. You know, I'm nowhere near her. I've provided her with a mask. But, you know, we need to think about those in this community that are vulnerable, not just ourselves.
And I know that you've got to run, Commissioner Driehaus. There's a 1 o'clock meeting, and what should people expect from the next couple of meetings from the Hamilton County Commission?
Well, we're going to continue to roll out this federal funding related to rental assistance, like I said, nonprofit assistance. We're going to start to ramp up testing. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. This small business piece was the first part, but we're very excited about offering some relief to the community. So we're still taking questions and comments, by the way, related to all of the above. So as we roll out the small business piece, small business owners, as recently as an hour ago, a small business owner called and offered his perspective as a small business owner. So that's really helpful as we move through this. So I encourage people to do that, whether it's by phone or email. Let us know what you think.
Commissioner Denise Driehaus, president of the Hamilton County Commission, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Michael.
And I'll go to the phones now at 513-419-7100. Michelle is on the line. Hi, Michelle. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thank you for picking my call. My question is about being enforcing the wear of masks, because yesterday I had to go to Walgreens, and I am kind of at risk. And I was wearing a mask. All the employees were wearing a mask. And there was a tag on the door saying no more than 38 people. They had some a pump with hand sanitizer as we exited the place. But when I was waiting in my car to go in, and while I was there, I noticed 75% of the people were not wearing a mask. And I'm concerned, and my question is there a way for business to enforce wearing a mask? I know our governor said, you know, it's not mandatory, everyone.
Right.
Do your best, but,
Michelle,
you know,
thank you. I think that what we're seeing is various businesses relying on the fact that they can enforce certain practices within their businesses, and that mostly the mask situation appears to be a strong suggestion from government officials, and whether that's based on some sort of legal material, I'm not clear on, but they've certainly strongly suggested that people wear masks. But again, it's not mandatory in most of these cases. I was out this weekend as well and saw mixed participation in that. You can go to coronavirus.ohio.gov. That's where Governor Mike DeWine and state officials list a lot of these updates, list a lot of the ideas about what you should expect when you go to a variety of different businesses. That's coronavirus.ohio.gov. Outdoor dining resumes in Ohio Friday, May 15th. Dine-in service starts again on May the 21st. We will hear from Governor Mike DeWine today with Lieutenant Governor John Husted and, of course, the Ohio Department of Health Director Amy Acton. That will be from 2 to 3:30 p.m., and you'll be able to hear that right here on 91.7 WVXU or online at WVXU.org. We also expect to hear from Governor Andy Beshear in Kentucky at 5 o'clock today. Some more dates had been announced about more sectors of the economy in the Bluegrass State starting to reopen, and we saw some just today. Construction, horse racing without fans, without live audiences, some office-based businesses at 50% capacity are reopening, and pet grooming and boarding. A little later on, government offices this week and other agencies. I guess that's a week from now, Monday, government offices. And also next week, funeral and memorial services and retail. restaurants at 33% capacity in Kentucky expected to resume operations on May 22nd. For Kentucky information, you can visit ky.coronavirus.gov and get the latest on what's happening in Kentucky. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of all of our programs online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.